All right, let me invite you over to the book of Genesis this morning, chapter 24, verse 7. Genesis chapter 24, verse 7. Genesis chapter 24, verse 7 reads this way. It says, "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. We do thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your church. And then, Lord, being reminded that you are in our midst, we do thank you for that. And Lord, I pray and ask that you would do a special work in our hearts and minds. Lord, that you would set our hearts and our souls on fire, that we might seek you, Lord, in a vibrant way like never before. Lord, give us a hunger and a thirst for you and your presence, and to talk to you and to call upon you to perform the promises that you've given to your New Testament church. Lord, you've called us to go into the world. You've given us this city of Columbia. And so, Lord, we cry and pray out and call out to you, Lord, to give us souls, Lord, that might be saved, baptized, and discipled for your honor and glory. Lord, we don't want to be a powerless church, a powerless people. We want to honor you, Lord. And so guide us as we open up your word. Bless and, Lord, empower our lives to honor you. And we'll give you the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." That was God's promise to Abraham, and Abraham was seeking God in his promise. And he said, not from another land, but from this land, this is the land I'm going to give you. And so we're going to consider really the amazing work that the Lord does to unite his people together who are of like faith in order to perform a function for his honor and glory, speaking of the New Testament church. But it began with Abraham. He called out a people that were not a people, amen? Abraham was not Jewish, amen? He was not a Hebrew, he was a Gentile, and God created out of him the Hebrew nation, amen? That would honor and glorify the Lord, that he would give his word and his promises to, and in the New Testament era, which we're living in, God has given that to his New Testament church, beginning first with a Jew, fulfilling his promise to the Jew first, and then to the whole world. Isn't that amazing how faithful God is? And God wants to be faithful in our day and age as well. So we're going to consider three thoughts this morning. We're going to see Abraham's faith in God. Then we're going to look at Eleazar. I'm just calling him Eleazar because I think that's who it was. He was the oldest servant of his house. And we're going to see at least the servants of Abraham's faith in God, or Eleazar's faith in God. And then God's great faithfulness to all who put their faith and trust in him. Beginning with salvation. Is God faithful to save? Amen. He is faithful to save. Is he faithful to bless? Amen. Is he faithful to deliver? Amen. Amen. So let's get excited about what the Lord wants to do in our lives. Back up with me, if you will, to verse 1. And let's look at Abraham's faith in God. And this is his continued walk of faith in the Lord. And he had some struggles. He had some trials in his life, did he not? I mean, he told Sarah, "Say you're my sister," right, when they were in Egypt. And different times he kind of tried to manipulate things. But here's the one thing we got to give him credit for. He was following the Lord, wasn't he? He was imperfect in his walk with the Lord, but God was working in his life because he wanted to follow the Lord. He didn't just give up and say, "Forget it, I'm going back to Ur of the Chaldees." He didn't say that. He just tried to figure out God and tried to work things out according to his understanding. And what he learned was that his ways were not God's ways. And here's what he learned, that God's ways were better than he ever dreamed of and imagined. And God wants to do that in our lives as well. So notice this in verse 1 of chapter 24. "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in how many things?" Isn't that something? God wants to bless us in all things. "And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh." This is a way that they made a promise. They made a covenant and a pact. And he says, "And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell," because they were not the people of God. They were an ungodly group. And so God wanted to, he said, "Listen, this is not where you're going to get your people from. I'm creating it from your kindred," from you and your kindred. And so he needed to go back to his homeland. And notice, verse 4, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. Now, Abraham didn't say, I want you to go after Rebekah. He didn't say that. Listen, I'm convinced he didn't know who exactly Isaac. You know what Abraham did? Lord, you provide the wife for Isaac. Amen? Lord, I'm going to look to you and trust you. I'm not going to have, she would be the right one for him. No, Lord, you guide me in this and you take care of it. So verse 5, and the servant said, in peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Am I going to bring you back there? No, remember what the promise was. No, the promise is in this land. This is the land that God has given to us. We're not going to, listen, do you think Abraham learned a little bit about not manipulating what God was saying and doing? You think he remembered, you know what, the last time I got a bright idea, it really backfired, amen? The last time I thought this would be God's will, it was not God's will. And so he said, nope, I'm going back to what God has said. This is what God said he wanted to do. This is the land. If she's not going to come here, she's not the one. Amen? And by the way, God has called us to be a peculiar people and a people of prayer, amen, that would have the power of God in our lives as well. So he said, should I bring her back to where, from where you came from? Verse 6, and Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. That's not the way we're going to do it. Verse 7. The Lord God of heaven, he tells why, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Listen, did Abraham already know this prayer was answered? Think about it. You're going to take a wife from there for my son. I don't know how he was convinced of that, but he had confirmation from the Lord that his Isaac's wife was coming from that land. Amen? And listen, then the servant says, well, if she doesn't want to go, should I bring your son to her? And he said, no, that's not the way we're going to do it. May we be adamant about the word and the promises that God has given to you and I as his people. God says, listen, if you have a friend that comes in the middle of the night and you go to your neighbor and you knock on that door of your neighbor and you're asking him for bread because you don't have any. By the way, we're the friend knocking on God's door saying, oh God, this is what I need in my life. Lord, I need for souls to be saved. Is that not in the will of God? Lord, that you might use me to be the light in my own family. Lord, I've got souls in my own family that I'm not sure or that I know do not know you as Savior. And so, Lord, I'm going to pray for them. My goodness, Lord, you're worthy of my attention. You're worthy for me to seek your presence. How often? All the time and every day. And Lord, may I call upon you because I need to be in your presence, but then may I be reminded, just as you saved me, my loved ones, Lord. My loved ones that I do not know for sure. Listen, if somebody was in dire need and they were going to die, would you just pray once and walk away? Or would you continue, oh Lord, as long as there's breath, as long as there's life, oh God, redeem and save this individual. And how much more for those that need the Lord for their salvation and eternal life? Oh God, may I not forget about them. They need you, God, and I'm not going to forget about calling upon you who's promised to answer my prayers. I'm going to keep knocking because you've got the bread that I need. Amen? All right, so notice this. He says, he's going to send an angel before him, verse 8. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. He says, if she decides not to come, you're in the clear. It's over right there. You can be finished. Now, this is the kind of servant that he wasn't just going through the motions. He wasn't just saying, man, you know what? I got to go get a wife for this man over here. I don't know. My goodness. Nobody here. I'm going home. Listen, the heart of this servant is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Listen, Isaac's bride, by the way, which is a picture of the church, it was prepared at a distance was raised up for his marriage at a distance, and the home was all being prepared. Everything was given from Abraham the father to Isaac the son. Everything was being prepared for the bride and for the groom. Everything was all done. And by the way, are you and I not also being prepared at a distance? Amen? And one day, the Lord's going to call us. Come on to this land that I have for you to show you that I have prepared. This is my land. Amen? And so we've got some good things to look forward to in the Lord. So we find Abraham's answer of faith. He says, you'll be cleared. You don't have to bring my son back over there. So let's look at Eleazar's faith in the Lord, or this servant of Abraham. And by the way, he's a picture of the Holy Spirit. It ought to be also a picture of the Spirit of God that's indwelling your life and mine as well. Look at verse 9. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore unto him concerning the matter. You know what he said? I give you my word, I'm going to follow your direction. Isn't that what he said? How about you and I? Lord, I give you my word. I need you, God, to follow your direction. Amen? I want to do what you've called me to do. Now, by the way, listen, we need the Lord's help because we're sinful creatures. And so, God, you have to deliver me. You have to make me aware of. You have to give me an excitement to call upon you in prayer. I need you to set my prayer life on fire. Lord, I don't want to just say, oh, yeah, I prayed one time last week. You know, I prayed here and there. I couldn't tell you how much I prayed. No, Lord. I want to know that I am purposefully, you're important enough for me to know how much time I'm spending in prayer and calling upon you. I want to take inventory of whether my prayer life is worthy of who you are. Would you have a checking account like that? Oh, I just write checks. I don't know. I just write checks. I don't balance my books. When I think, I'll just throw a little more money in there. What do you think would happen if you did that? By the way, listen, our prayers are petitions into God's account on our behalf. Lord, listen, you have everything that I need. You have your Holy Spirit that I need that gives patience and long-suffering and faith, by the way. The Spirit of God is the one that gives us faith to pray. Lord, listen, strengthen my faith, oh God, if I'm not seeking you on a daily basis and maybe even, believe it or not, morning, noon, and night. Isn't there a song that goes like that? Morning, noon, and night, that we might call upon our God. Hey, didn't Daniel pray morning, noon, and night? Wasn't that a good way to follow? Listen, do you think the Lord prayed morning, noon, and night and some? He's our example, and he had not because he was asking God, not because he was giving God a laundry list, but because he enjoyed and sought the very presence of his Heavenly Father. Amen? And by the way, you and I ought to have that desire, Lord, I'm going to spend eternity with you. I want to get to know you even on this side more than I've ever known you before. Amen? I want to love you as you love me. And Lord, I need you to show me how to love you. I need to grow in your grace so that I can walk in your ways. And so notice what it says again in verse 9. He says, and the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went into Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. Now, isn't that the way the Lord does us? Has he not given to us everything in our salvation? Has he not made provision for all that we need? He has. And so this is a wonderful thing that this servant has that's been given to him by Abraham. And we've been given all these wonderful things by the Lord himself. And so he says, verse 11, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that the women go out to draw water. Now, I don't know if he planned this all out to get there at that particular time, but needless to say, he was at the right place at the right time, was he not? You know, I'm sure of this. God will make sure that you and I are at the right place at the right time. Listen, there's this fellow that gave this account. He was a believer in the Lord, and this was back in the 1800s when they did ship sailing, and they were whalers. They were after whales, and he said, Lord, I want you to use my life to be a blessing. They didn't have the radio, amen, and even I don't know what you call that. You know how the Navy ships do the light signaling and stuff like that. There was none of that. And so this fellow was over here wailing in a certain spot, this captain, and he prayed, "Lord, I want my life to count." He would witness to his sailors that worked for him, and all of a sudden they were out there, and there was no whales. They weren't seeing any whales. They were having a hard time. And he said, "You know what? I'm going to change course. I'm going to go to this area that I've never been to before." There was a shipwreck that he didn't know about, and the sailors were in there for about 20 days in the lifeboats. And he said, "Here's the account. I had no intention, but because I was yielded to the Lord moved my heart to go somewhere else, to go into another area and try whaling. And I didn't go there to catch whales. I went there to save men." Amen? There was, I think, three little boats their ship had sunk, and these men were in that lifeboat for about 20 days or so with very little food and very little water. And he said, "I'm sure they wouldn't have made it one more day." And he was yielded to the Lord, and the Lord used him to rescue all these men. He said, "Boy, listen, prayer is important. If we don't call upon the Lord, we can't expect anything from God." And so he was willing, "Lord, listen, use me today. Help me to be a blessing, Lord, that, of your mercy and your grace and your goodness." And so this man is praying. He's praying on the behalf of Abraham and for his son Isaac. And he said, verse 12, and he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham." What time did he get there? In the evening. He's praying at night. Do you think he prayed when he got everything together? Do you think he prayed while he was on his journey to the Lord for this? And he's asking the Lord, "Listen, this man, I am convinced, was a man of prayer. He watched the relationship that Abraham, listen, he watched the relationship that Abraham had with his God, and he liked the God of Abraham." He said, "Oh, Lord, I've watched Sarah and Abraham make some mistakes. In fact, I would dare say he probably thought, I would have made the very same mistakes, and your mercy and your love and your grace kept him," amen, "and continued to bless him as he was following you. Imperfect as it was, he was learning more about you, and you, God, were the one that was willing to teach him more about yourself so that he might walk better and upright in your ways and not in his own." And so this is the God he's calling upon, that he's watched work in the life of Abraham. So he says this in verse 13, "Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city came out to draw water." And notice what he says here, "And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also, let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac." That's powerful. Somebody without a relationship or a very weak relationship with the Lord could never do that. It has to be somebody who is seeking God and experiencing God working in their everyday lives before they get to this place. "Lord, I know that you can deliver me from me." Amen. "Lord, that I might walk in your ways and in your understanding and not my own." Oh, and then you say, "Praise God, he did it this day." Amen. "Praise the Lord, he did it for this length of time. Maybe he did it for an hour, for 2 hours. Lord, I know if you do it for an hour or 2 hours, you, as long as I keep my eyes on you, I won't go under the water." Amen? And if I go under the water, why? I've taken my eyes off you. And I begin to look at everything else around me, and that's why I failed. And God says, "I will not, you're in my hand. And no man can take you out. Not even you. Not even, listen, not even if you've up until this point said, 'Lord, I'm just too big a mess for you to take care of.' God says, 'I still got you. Now, when you give up looking on you and start looking on me, I'll show you something. When you'll say, 'Lord, I can't, but you can,' now we're talking." Amen? You can tell the Lord that. "I can't, but you can." Amen? "I can't, and I want to stop looking at 'I can't,' and I want to start looking at 'you can,' and trust you instead of me and what I can do or what I can't do." And so he says this, "I want to lay this out. By the way, do you know camels drink a lot of water? This girl here could not be a slouch. She could be one of these. By the way, she was well-to-do as well. But she was somebody who, she was serving. She had maids too, if you remember the story. She had maids that went with her down there to Isaac. She could have sent the maids out there to go get the water, but she went herself. And so, wow, what a blessing. Amen. What character she has. And why this man, this servant, was moved to ask for it to be this way, other than this, the Lord was in on it all. The Lord was leading him to ask the Lord for these things that he wanted specifically, listen, for him to see. But God wanted this servant to see that he could lay it out on the line. Amen? Just like that. So watch what happens. So he says, verse 14, and it shall come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink, she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels to drink also. He's praying right now, right, to the Lord. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. Did this servant know it was an appointment with the Lord? You have appointed. This is an appointment. Listen, this man, what kind of faith did he have? He went expecting there was a woman appointed for such a time as this. Amen? God has appointed your life and my life to be empowered for his honor and glory for such a time as this. Amen? Don't, listen, it's our own fault if we say, oh, Lord, not today. Oh, let me just tell you the darkness and the evil and all that's going wrong with the world. Did God not already know that before the world ever was created? Did he not know the time that we would be in existence? Did he not have the intention to be honored and glorified in our day and our time through your life and mine this day? He did. And so, but may we get our eyes off of ourselves. I'm telling you, listen, I want you to know I'm preaching to me too. Shame on me for thinking, oh, I have thought that. Look at this world. What a mess. Lord, it's hopeless. No, it's not. No, it isn't if God is on the throne. Is God on the throne right now? Will he ever be off the throne? You mean to tell me no matter what the world may throw at us or at the Lord, he still sits and rules supreme and is sovereign over everything? Absolutely. So he says this. Listen, this is amazing here. He says, I know thou hast showed kindness unto my master. The bottom there of verse 14. Listen to this. And it came to pass, before she had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. This is all laid out. It's amazing to pray and be in step with the Lord and because God gives us in our hearts and minds. See, this servant thought, well, I'm just going to say, I don't know, I feel like saying, this is what she ought to do. Well, where was that coming from? God was giving him what to ask for. Lord, I need you to show me how to pray. Lord, show me how to ask for the things that you want me to ask you for, that you want to perform in my life for your glory. Verse 15, and it came to pass before she had done speaking that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, Milcah, the son of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. Listen, and the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, the right kind of woman. Everything was all prepared. God gives his very best. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her. He's excited. You know what he was saying in his heart? Tell me what you think he was saying in his heart. She's the one. So that's what he's saying. There she is. She's, so, oh yeah, 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 she's the one. Oh no. Oh my goodness, when's this going to be over? Right? When's my ordeal going to be? No, listen, he was excited about what God was doing. Don't you want that kind of excitement about what God is doing? Do you know, listen, God is getting ready to return. We're going to see him face to face one day very soon. Amen? But may we enjoy him here on this side of eternity as well. And so, verse 17, and the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. That's amazing. Have you ever stopped to think about that? She's got a heavy pitcher she's carrying, and she's carrying it, and this guy says, I want to ask her to give me some to drink. And then when I ask her to drink, that she'll offer to feed my camels. So this is quite an imposition, really, when you think about it. And so, she says, verse 18, and she said, drink, my Lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, when he was finished drinking, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. Ooh. Just like I asked the Lord. Who would have ever thought? Do you think he's thinking, this is of the Lord. This is of God. And so she says, "Hey, listen, I'll go ahead and I'll water your camels also." Notice verse 21. And the man wondering at her held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. You know what that means? He was meditating. He was reflecting. He was thinking about everything that had just come to pass, just like he asked the Lord. Amen? And so, do you think he's a little bit excited? He is a little bit excited. And so verse 22, it says, "And it came to pass as the camels had done drinking." So that must have been some time. Again, camels drink a lot of water. She had one pitcher. She made some trips. And the camels had finished drinking. Remember, he took camels, plural. And so that the man took a golden earring of a half shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight. And by the way, a shekel is a half ounce. I don't know how much an ounce of gold is. It's expensive, isn't it? And it was expensive back then. So 10 shekels of each bracelet and a half ounce of her earring. And so you think he was convinced she was the right one? But he's still pursuing it, right, carefully to make sure that he's not being presumptuous on all that's taking place. He still wants to see more come together. And so he says this, verse 23, and said, "Whose daughter art thou, tell me, I pray thee?" She's got to be of the right stock. "Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" That was one of the prerequisites, wasn't it? And then notice this. And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." She said moreover unto him, "We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in." Isn't that what he asked for? Does it delight the Lord to give us what we ask for? Especially when we're asking right smack dab in the middle of his will. Yeah. Oh, Lord, that's the kind of prayer life I want to have. How about you? Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, that I might pray your will and watch you bring to pass and glorify yourself because I'm asking you for what you've asked me to ask for. That's what God wants to do in our lives. And so I'm sure he's excited about what's going on. And verse 26, after she says, "Yep, we've got plenty of room and straw and all this for you." Verse 26, and the man bowed down his head and what? He worshiped the Lord. Who brought that all about? He was willing to follow God's plan. And God showed him some things that brought him to the place of worship. Do you know God wants to bring you and I also to the place of worship? Can you fathom that what was going through his heart and mind? Oh God, how faithful you are. Only God. Listen, isn't that something? Aren't you glad we aren't mistakes? Aren't you glad everything with God is on purpose and planned out for our blessing, if we'll have it? And so we find here God's great faithfulness to all who trust him, especially this man. And we're going to finish up very quickly here. Notice again, he's worshiping the Lord. He's all excited about what God just is doing there, and he's watching this. Verse 27, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth." Did you see that? Mercy and truth. That's what we need. Mercy, God's mercy and God's truth. I being in the way, this is how you get it. You got to be in the way. So if we'll call upon the Lord, God says men ought always to pray. That's mankind. That's gentlemen and ladies. We ought to pray and call upon the Lord because we need him. And not just for the things that we need, but we want to be in his presence. And so he says, "I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban, and Laban ran out to meet the man unto the well. And it came to pass when he saw the earring and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, 'Thus spake the man unto me,' and he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, 'Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels.'" Provisions are already made. And then notice, he says, verse 32, "And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat." Listen to this. "But he said, 'I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. And tonight we'll look at that, what that errand was. But today, did God answer this man's request? Amen. This servant? He did. Did God not ask us to call on him? Did God ask us to call on him because he wanted to answer us? God did not say, call unto me and I won't answer. He says, I will answer. He says, all you have to do is call upon me to show you what to ask for. We're so ready to rattle. We know we like Peter a lot of ways. Lord, I know what you want to do, Lord. You want to set up shop right here, right? Let's make a tent for you and Moses and Elijah. I know what that, Lord, you want us to call down. Lord, I know what you want. You want to call down fire from heaven and just kill this town, right, Lord? We come like, you don't understand, Lord. I've been saved for 50 years. I know what you want. No, we don't. Hey, God is unbelievably awesome. And he is bigger than our little thinking. Lord, here's the truth. Ready? I've not been heretofore before on September the 1st, 2024. I've not been this way before. I've been in this building, but not on September the 1st, 2024. I need you to show me the way. And guess what happens tomorrow, Lord? I need you to show me the way. Guess what happens an hour from now, Lord? I need you. Or I'll walk astray. And so God says, if you'll come unto me, I'll not cast you out. If you'll call upon me, I'll answer you. And if you seek me, you'll what? You'll find him. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. Lord, we do thank you for the reminder in your word of your great love and faithfulness to your people. Lord, we want to see you. I pray, Lord, that you would create a hunger and a thirst in our hearts for you and your righteousness, and that we would see your will accomplished in our lives, that we might be brought to the place of worship because of your mighty greatness and grace and power. Bless your word, bless your people, and we'll give you the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.